What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Not About Wrestling. We're back.
We're here.
What?
We're here.
We're back.
Yeah.
She's Stephanie Bowen.
I am. That's me. You're Chris Illuminati. Switching it up.
I don't know. I figured like maybe we can think of the vacation as a hiatus and we're coming back and we're doing things a little different.
Yeah, super fresh and new.
I got a backwards hat. You're working off a phone. It's crazy time.
What is this? Oh, I know. I'm going crazy right now. I don't know. Right as you were doing the intro, I don't know if you heard the loud thunder boom. I'll listen back to see. Yeah, loud. Kopi is currently hiding under my desk because he's terrified. So, yeah.
Does he want to be on the show?
No, he does not. Not right now.
Okay, good. Cause I'm sick of dogs on podcasts.
I'm sorry. What?
I'm sick of dogs on podcasts.
What? I don't know what this means. Do you have a story?
There's another podcast that I host where a dog constantly sabotages the podcast. And I would rather that a dog not sabotage the podcast.
You seem very upset over this.
It didn't do it last time because the dog was in a completely different house. So we were fine.
Oh, good. Yes. One down. Yes. Way to go.
I feel like we haven't done this in forever.
Yeah. I don't know how to do this anymore. I also just in general, haven't really talked to you in like 2 weeks, it feels like.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we texted, but we haven't like talked.
Yeah.
There's been a lot of news.
There's a lot of things.
A lot of news. Like, I don't even know where you left for us to begin.
I don't know. Yeah. I mean, an episode that hasn't even come out yet. I didn't get to record. I haven't actually been on. It's not even just that week that I was off.
I'm pretty sure the last one we recorded together was Tony Schiavone and Dirk Manning.
It was.
Because how we did before that.
Yes.
I did Danny Limelight alone. I did Sammy alone, who's our guest.
Sammy's coming out now. Danny hasn't even come out at this point.
Danny hasn't come out yet. Danny needs some editing.
That'll be the following week.
He doesn't personally need any editing, but there was, I remember texting you because you couldn't make that episode because you had a work obligation. And so I jumped on with Danny. And before we jumped on, he was like, hey, do you mind if a couple people from my movie come on too? And I was like, yeah, sure. And then the next thing I knew, it was like I was having a Zoom conference with about 20 people.
You had an entourage.
Yes. So that's why I was glad. As much as I missed you in this next episode, it was just me and Sammy Callahan talking. And I was
good.
Like, I could do this much better. The only thing is, I'm not going to complain, but only got 20 minutes with him. But what can you do? He's a busy man.
Yeah. He's got championships to fight for.
Yeah. I mean, I was joking with him and I was like, you know, at the next pay-per-view at Slammiversary, which is coming up, you're wrestling some guy named Kenny Omega. And I wish you the best of luck. Actually, I did say that.
I haven't gotten to listen to it yet. So I'm excited.
To the point where I made the joke and I feel like on his face for a moment, he really thought I thought that Kenny Omega's name was Kenny Omega. And then, cause I was like, I hope I'm saying this correctly. And then like, it was just, and then he realized, oh, I was joking, but yes, he wrestles Kenny at the upcoming Slammiversary pay-per-view. And that's why we only had a little bit of time. I'm looking forward to that match. I'm actually looking forward to the pay-per-view. I'm looking forward to a lot of stuff. Cause you know, wrestling is back. They've got the fans. They've got asshole fans running into the ring. They've got everything.
Did you read into that?
I don't even want to talk about why he did it. That's not a true wrestling fan. And even the person that he did it for said, that's not a true wrestling fan. Like, yes. All right, we'll talk about it briefly.
Where's Don when you need him?
Yeah, where's Don when you need him? We'll talk about this briefly. The funny thing about that, like the guy doing it for Cornette because he's a true wrestling fan. Like, if you knew anything about Jim Cornette's backstory, when he was managing the Midnight Cornette, what the fuck is wrong with me? Managing the Midnight Express, the Midnight Cornette would be a great tag team name. The Midnight Cornette. When he was managing the Midnight Express, him and the Express had so much heat that he carried a tennis racket around with him. He would put horseshoes in each side of the tennis rackets that should he get attacked on the way to the ring or, you know, in the ring or anything like that by a fan, he could smash somebody with a loaded tennis racket. So you are jumping into the ring for a man who does not like that and believes that fans should just stay on their side.
Yeah, not smart.
I don't get it. Anyway, but yeah, so that all happened. And then Malakai Black shows up. I like that was the one episode I couldn't believe he were on vacation.
Oh, what the hell? You were texting me and I was, oh, we had my cousins over that night. So it's like waiting for them to come over.
Mm.
I was like, I'm not watching.
Yeah. And I didn't want to ruin it for you. But then I was like, maybe she's watching because I feel like you mentioned you would be watching before you left.
No.
You didn't say something like that?
I did not. No. No, you made that up in your head.
Sorry to ruin it. Do you want to know what was ruined for me? And I really want to complain about this.
What?
Okay. So I'm not a soccer fan. I like soccer. I enjoy watching soccer, but I'm not like, I don't know much about European, like not, but I, if it's on, I'll watch it. So I got really into the Euro Cup, right? And so I'm watching Italy and Mexico. I watched a couple other matches. So obviously it's in another country. So we, the United States, are on a tape delay or a time delay, if you will. So I get done watching the Italy match. And right after that is Denmark and England to see who the other team would be in the Euro Cup final. And I'm like, well, I got to see this because I just watched the Italy game. So I got to see who Italy is going to be playing. So I'm about not quite an hour, but I'm getting close into like maybe 45 minutes of watching this game. Denmark is up 1-0.
Okay.
And I'm like, holy crap. Like Denmark's going to pull this off. It's on ESPN. They cut to commercial. They're like, don't forget to watch England and Italy tomorrow at whatever time. And I'm like, you son of a bitches. Like, they have to understand that other people are watching this at a different time. Like you're
so you were watching it live. When did it actually
I think the game was earlier in the day. And then I was watching like on 3 or 4 hours later. I might have even been watching a replay.
You cannot be mad about a sports rerun.
No, like it was that same day. It was just like a couple hours later. I don't even know if I was watching the live telecast. I mean, I might have been
clearly
watching our live. No, but I mean like live to us. Like, I don't know if that was the first time it was live for us. It was like 7 o'clock at night on a Saturday. Like that's prime time. So I don't think they were showing a replay at that time.
No, it was a replay.
But anyway, you can't do that in the middle. If you're okay, definitely don't do it in the first hour with Denmark up 1-0 and England comes back and wins. Now you're really ruining it. Like, let me ask, who are you showing that commercial for? Diehard soccer fans already know when the final is. So you're trying to grab casual fans like me. Well, you've just ruined this game for me. So now I'm going to turn it off because I already know who wins this game. Imagine like you were watching Dynamite and they told you the winner of the main event. Like, you know how they type Dynamite so many weeks in advance because of like leaving dailies? Suppose they told you the winner of the Sammy and MJF match like a half hour into the show and gave up the thing for next week. Like, you'd be like, why the hell am I watching this?
I'm not with you on this one, unfortunately. You were watching a sports replay. You can't be mad about it.
I'm going to look up when the time was of the game and when it was. What if it was the live game? What was this, what if it was the first time watching for the US?
Well, then yes, that would make sense. I get that. I know that wasn't the case because my family was off the beach watching it.
They might not have been watching England and Denmark.
I know what they were watching.
What were they watching?
I know that they were watching everything and it was all earlier in the day. Why would it be that late at night? They're 6 hours ahead of us, at least.
I'm going to look up when the original airtime
was. Okay.
I'm not going to do it on the podcast. I'm not going to play the Steph looking up music. I'm not going to look up the Steph looking up music.
Don't do it.
If I'm correct, we're going to come back on and hit record, and then I'm going to say that I was right.
Okay.
Just saying it.
I will admit that I was wrong.
Okay. So I guess we should just get right into us or me talking to Sammy.
Yeah, let's go.
Hey guys, so I had to come back on here because Chris was talking about that soccer game and ended up looking it up when we got off the call. What did he find out? He found out that the game was played 3 days before he was actually watching it. So for the soccer fans listening, you guys obviously knew that. You're like, okay, that game was played on Wednesday, bro. You were watching it on Saturday. I did not realize that it was a different day. I just knew it was earlier in the day because my cousins were watching it. I was on vacation. Every day is Saturday to me. So Saturday sounded right. Either way, you can't be mad about sports spoilers. If you can avoid them, great, but it's highly unlikely, especially when you're watching ESPN. It's not gonna happen. They're gonna promote the next game, especially when it happens 3 days later. Good try, Chris. Anyway, let's listen to his awesome interview with Sammy. No spoilers.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to a special episode of Not About Wrestling. I am Chris Lominati, and I'm here today with Sammy Callahan. Sammy, what's up, my friend?
I wasn't not about wrestling, but I guarantee we're going to talk about wrestling. I need to know these things.
Okay, well, it's not
about wrestling, but it is about wrestling. So please explain.
Okay, so here's the explanation. It's not, maybe I should have named it Not Always About Wrestling. Because we don't really get into like the, hey, remember that match 2 years ago when you did this and do this. But we talk more about like a person's background. Like, you know, for example, my first question was, do you want to talk about your recent big news? Not wrestling related, other related.
No, I ain't talking about that.
Okay, what do you want to talk about?
We don't need to talk about my private life, nothing about wrestling when it's obviously about wrestling.
All right, well, let's start off. What do you want to talk about?
What do you want to talk about?
Okay, you have a match coming up with, and I hope I say his name correctly, Kenny Omega? Kenny Omega?
Nailed it.
I nailed it? Good. I wasn't sure. I don't know who the guy
Kenny
is.
Kenny
Omega. Omega, yeah. That sounds about right. How you feeling?
He's really good at origami. He may beat me in the origami portion of the match. Like, that's truth. Like, I'm not great at origami. I can make the duck. That's about it.
Yeah. You know what amazes me about stuff like origami? It looks like a fun thing, but the fact that someone created that, like someone started off and went, you know what? I'm going to fold this piece of paper and it's going to look like a duck.
You know what? I'm going to take this napkin because just having a napkin isn't good enough. And I'm going to make it into a duck. So then people have to undo it just to wipe their face. To be honest, I'm just wiping my face with a duck. I ain't unfolding.
How do you feel about, have you ever been to one of those restaurants where you might have to get up a couple times and every time you do, the waiter takes your napkin and kind of like folds it and puts it nicely somewhere? You ever had that happen?
I dislike, and I also dislike at restaurants when the waiter won't leave me alone. You don't need to come up every 4 seconds. Do you need another drink? You see my glass on the table. I don't need another drink.
Yes, I agree.
Can you just bring me my drink, bring me my food, ask me for one refill. I'll give you a good tip. That's all I need out of a waiter.
Or what about the waiter or waitress that drops the food, maybe does like a lap and comes back and is like, is everything okay? And you literally only have like the first bite in your mouth.
You see, that makes sense. Or the ones that always try to push dessert. Would you like dessert? Oh, no, thank you. 3 minutes later. Are you sure you don't want dessert? I know you I understand that you are working on quota and you're trying to push these desserts. But I told you once I didn't want the dessert. I'm not going to change my mind and magically want apple pie a la mode.
Are you a dessert guy?
I am a dessert guy.
Okay, what's your go-to dessert?
Go-to pumpkin pie. I love pumpkin pie.
Pumpkin pie solo or pumpkin pie with something?
Whipped cream. Whipped cream is fine. Or I'm a big like lemon lime fan, so give me a good like a lemon cake or a lemon bar. Oh.
Okay. Well, what's your thoughts on a key lime pie?
Love it. I'm not big on chocolate,
Okay.
I'll eat a candy bar here and there, but I'm more on, I like salty treats, but if I'm going dessert stuff, I do love me some ice cream though. Like love sherbet too, like lemon lime. So sherbet's the way to go.
Interesting. I remember when I was a kid, sherbet was the big, like after meal, like if a restaurant didn't really have that many, kind of options for dessert, they'd go with the sherbet. Like we had,
and I'd always sherbet. Be happy with it. I'd be like, give me that sherbet.
Yeah. Now, are you also one of those people? I'm kind of like this sometimes. There's some desserts, like you said, pumpkin pie, that's synonymous with Thanksgiving. Are you one of those people that's like, I can really only have it at Thanksgiving time? Like if I have it in the middle of June, it just doesn't have that feel.
No, it's the same. Pumpkin pie is pumpkin pie. Like I have a thing of pumpkin, like the pumpkin that you can get that's already pureed and stuff that I'll eat with oatmeal and other. The pumpkin's one of my favorite. Have you ever just had chopped up baked pumpkin? It's delicious.
I have not. I should try that.
You got to try it. You can eat the rind and all. It's baked. It's like, dude, it's so good. It's not really an American thing. I've had it a bunch overseas though, and every time I have it, it's great. And like sometimes you go to a fancy buffet, they might have pumpkin, but it's always good.
I've never seen
it. Squash. It's like a squash.
Does that explain one of your tattoos, the pumpkin?
I do love pumpkins. I also love Halloween.
So. Halloween? Yeah, that makes sense. That was actually one of the questions that I wanted to talk to you about. So before the interview, I'm going over your career. I'm looking at all the pictures and stuff like that. You're one of the guys that you've really had a different look everywhere you've gone and over the years. Like, was that a conscious effort? Did it just happen naturally? Like you evolved, so your look evolved? How did that work?
I have ADD, so I get bored with things very easily. But all my favorite professional wrestlers through the years, they always evolved. You have to evolve so you don't become stale. And I'm a big proponent of that. As much as I hate putting over other promotions, but you look at a guy like Chris Jericho, that's a guy that I feel like every young professional wrestler should strive to, in the career, do those same things. Like every couple of years, reinvents himself and is always relevant. And he's what, 150 years old at this point, and he's still killing it. Like
now, when you do go for a new look, I feel like I could be wrong here, but a lot of your looks are kind of comic book inspired almost. Is that where you pull from, or you just kind of like look at stuff and go, oh, this works?
No, 100%. I'm very thought out about this stuff. When you actually, the debut of me wearing like flap jackets and like the pants was actually in Lucha Underground. And I remember when I went to Lucha Underground, they're like, oh, what do you have in mind for the look of this character? And it's actually from an old Ninja Turtles comic book, an animated series, not the original one, but there was a, I wish I could find the picture, but there were some goons in one of the crews that had this orange and black tactical gear. And I was like, I want that.
Isn't it weird how that stuff stays with you from childhood?
100%. And I remember when I was looking, I was just looking through different stuff, looking for different looks. And I came across that picture and I was like, that's it. Like some people might be like, oh, like Roman Reigns wore the flak jacket. You got it from Roman Reigns. Like Roman Reigns was the last thing on my mind. Sure, he may have wore a flak jacket for a little bit. That's why I made mine as different from his as I possibly could.
Mm-hmm. Does that sometimes get frustrating too, where if you, even not even a look or something else, where something, somebody sees like Roman Reigns first, but they see you second. Therefore, you must have taken it from him, even though you might have been doing it long before him.
I think that's a big thing in professional wrestling. And I think it's annoying as hell because, it's not just that. Like I've seen moves that people use that only one person's using that someone else sees it first. And it's like, oh, this person created the move. Like if you look at the headlock driver, which is a move that's very big in professional wrestling right now, a lot of different guys have done. Dean Ambrose has done it. EC3's done it. There's like four guys on the indies doing it. Matt Taven's done it. Like I created that move back in 2005. And I remember being a young wrestler, I get booked just for that move because it was such a cutting edge move at the time before everyone was doing everything. And then I see throughout the years, people like, oh, this guy created this cool move. And like knowing in my heart, like I created it. But at the end of the day, like if you're going to do it, do it. Like I'm the type of person, if you're going to do something I'm doing, if you're going to take something from my look, if you're going to take something from my repertoire, I'll change it because I'm not a one move. I'm not a one look person. Like I can always reinvent myself and be better.
Well, they say imitation is the highest form of flattery, so I'm guessing that's what they're going for.
If you look at the, no one was wearing the legless Taz singlets for years. I mean, years. And then I busted that out because I was a big Taz fan as a kid. I was like, oh, no one's doing this. Like, regular singlets don't look good on my body. Like, the legless singlet got them good legs. It looked good. And then I feel like in a span of like 6 years, I really influenced a lot of wrestlers with that because now if you look at the, like, that's one of the very stereotypical things in independent wrestling, not just independent wrestling, just wrestling in general. You look at a guy like Pete Dunne, like, was he wearing that before? No. Like, I think that's something I may have inspired. Pete Dunne, great wrestler, great dude. I've got to work with him over in England. But if you look at a lot of other wrestlers, that's like something I really feel that I brought back into professional wrestling. Or if you, not just that, I'm sorry to cut you off.
But, okay.
It's kind of been something throughout my career. Then I went from there. I started wearing dress clothes. No one was wearing dress clothes. A bunch of people started wearing dress clothes. Then I went to the flak jackets. Now I'm seeing flak jackets pop around on the indies every other show at this point.
Mm-hmm. Has anyone ever come up to you and said, hey, I got this idea from you?
100%. And I respect those people. But if you don't, I honestly don't care because I'm making money. I'm doing my thing. You go make your money. If you want to wear something I wore, wear something I wore because I didn't create it. Like someone else created it. Like,
right.
As anything, Taz was the one, or Tarzan Goto, or Nikolai Koloff was wearing these singlets 30 years ago.
Yeah, yeah. I'm sure if you go back into the annals of wrestling, you'll find somebody wearing something that's similar. But that's that way in every profession. Like, you're going to go back and kind of look and take things from different times that you liked. Do you ever go back and watch, like, old wrestling stuff?
Oh, I only watch old wrestling stuff. Okay. My favorite wrestler of all time, my biggest influence. One of my biggest influence, Terry Funk. Absolutely. Like, I've tried to model my career after things that he's done in his career. Like, in my opinion, one of the absolute goats in professional wrestling that I think influenced way more people than he gets credit for.
It's funny you bring up Terry Funk because, you know, with everything going on recently, you kind of like go back and look at all his old stuff. And I was recently going back and looking at his angle with Flair when he put the bag over his head at the Clash of Champions and started. I don't think you can get away with something like that today. Like, do you think you can get away with putting a bag over someone's head?
You can't even get away with being a bad guy in professional wrestling now about people. You know what? He's a bad guy in real life.
Yeah. Yeah. That's
just a matter of fact of wrestling fans to be like, you do something as a professional wrestler, you get crucified. You do something as a real person, you get crucified. You get crucified either way. Professional wrestling is the only thing that's like that. Like, I could go out there and say something in character and somehow it'd be like, oh, I can't believe he said that in 2020. Mm-hmm. You know what? He's a piece of shit human being. So matter of fact, I've always knew he was a piece of shit human being. When someone doesn't know you outside of the wrestling world, they just see what you want them to see on the television as a character. Like,
right. I mean, that sometimes does get hard too, because I feel like for the casual, not even fan, but like for the casual observer of wrestling. So you're watching the show and you guys wrestling, that part is kind of, that's the real, but then when you're talking, that's fictional, even though really what's in the ring is fictional. So there's kind of this like blurring of lines. So it's like, okay, they're okay with the wrestling part being the fictional part. But as soon as you say something, that's like a real thing. And it kind of like, they don't understand the line, like why, like the Sammy in the ring and the Sammy talking are the same people. Why wouldn't the character just go into social media or anything else?
It's mind blowing. You don't, an actor doesn't get crucified for playing a misogynistic character, but if there's a misogynistic professional wrestler right now, no go. And I'm not saying I support stuff like that, but I am a big supporter of like, we're supposed to be movie stars. We are playing a part. I think people need to take a step back and realize that maybe that's not the real person. That's why I'm very big on like, I don't think professional wrestlers keep their privacy enough nowadays. Like, everyone has to put out their thoughts on this and that and this and that. And if you look at my social media, I don't do that a lot because I like to blur those lines of who I am as a real person, who I am as a professional wrestler. And I think there needs to be that line in the sand so you don't just mesh into one person. Like, you have to have, when I go home, I let wrestling go and I be myself. Like, and I don't think enough people do that.
Speaking of that, I had noticed a picture on your Instagram. Someone had drawn a picture of you and you posted it on your Instagram page. It was like a pen drawing. It was like, I don't know, like last week or so. Does it blow your mind sometimes that you're like, wow, someone sat there and drew my face for a couple hours?
Being there was no other option for me as a kid. I always wanted to be a professional wrestling fan. I always looked up professional wrestlers as a kid. And now, like, the fact that people want my autograph, or now people want to buy a piece of clothing I wore, now someone wants to take their time to draw a picture of me, like that's being a superstar. Like, that is the definition of being semi-famous or whatever you want to call it. Like, people look up to you, and I don't think enough wrestlers really feel and like take that thing to heart, like as much as like, yo, like, you're making money and you're getting to live your dream. And I think a lot of people need to really look at wrestling at that aspect of like, yo, like, everyone wants to be miserable, it seems like. There's always something like, oh, I deserve this, or I should get this. Like, how would you be grateful for the things you got? Like, because there's a lot of people that would stab you to have that same thing. Like, maybe your life isn't that bad.
Mm-hmm. Where's the most shocking place that you've ever been recognized? Like, obviously, you're going to get recognized in certain places, but were you ever someplace where you're just like, oh my God, like, how the hell did you know who I was?
Amusement parks are a big one. It seems every amusement park I go to, no matter if it was in Florida, I live in Ohio now, huge theme park, huge roller coaster enthusiast. We got Kings Island and Cedar Point, two of the best theme parks on the planet. Mm. And it seems it doesn't matter where I am. Even in England, I'd go to amusement parks and somehow get recognized. It seems every amusement park, I at least get one.
That's interesting. I wonder if there's a correlation between wrestling fans and amusement parks.
And I also, like, during the mask mandates, there'd be times I go into grocery stores, I'd be wearing a wrestling shirt, but I have a mask on. Like, hoodie, and so people want to know who I am. They'd be like, oh, like, and they'd start talking about wrestling or like talking about me, not knowing it was actually me.
Oh, that's got to be fun.
that's the best, because then you don't tell them.
Uh-huh.
See how it goes.
Not that I want to go back to wearing masks at all, because it was awful. But a part of me sometimes goes, I kind of miss the not having to like interact sometimes with people, or just kind of like slipping out of places with masks on. Do you kind of miss that sometimes?
I miss talking shit about people. Like, I'd have a mask on and just be under my breath, you stupid idiot. Same thing of wearing sunglasses. Like, if I can wear a mask and sunglasses, so no one knew my expressions at any time, because I'm always rolling my eyes. I'm always talking shit under my breath.
What place out in public do you sometimes find the most frustrating, like, to be?
Grocery stores.
Okay. That's what I was going to say. My example is going to be CVS, but you go with grocery store. Okay.
Well, any sort of like CVS, grocery stores, Walmart, like, it's always something. There's always almost a fight. There's always people just being like the people that just stand in the line, like talking on their phone when it's like, yo, like, I need to get around you. Like, even more so than that, airports. Idiots at airports piss me off more than anything. It's like, okay, I got to get to my flight, and you and your four family are standing right in the hallway so no one can get past you having a conversation. Go sit down.
Yeah.
Get out of the way. People have to go. Are people talking on their phone at the airport on speakerphone? Like, that's a big one of mine.
Have you ever, I mean, you might not be able to see that far into the crowd, but have you ever been at a match and you caught somebody on the phone or seen somebody 100%. On the phone?
I call them out on it. I think it's hilarious.
Like, who could they be talking to?
I was at a show one time at a country music festival of all places. Wild show. But someone was reading a book in the crowd. It's like there's concerts going on and professional wrestling. You obviously do not want to be here.
Maybe they were a chaperone or something. Maybe they brought their kid.
I can't read if there's like someone talking in the background, let alone music and a professional wrestling show.
Mm-hmm. You know, you mentioned that you're very ADD. I am also very ADD. And you said like the background thing going on. Here's one thing that always bothers me in the summertime. Do you have a problem working or getting anything done when an air conditioner is on?
I actually like the sound of the air conditioner.
Okay.
Like the sound of like a fan in my room, sound of an air conditioner. Like I like, especially sleeping, like that's like perfect for me.
Okay.
But I'm also the type of person, I can't sleep in a silent room. I have to have a television on or radio on or podcast going. Like if you just put me in a room, turn the lights out and to go to sleep, like I ain't going to sleep. There's no way. My brain would just keep me up all night.
How long do you think you could last in a room like that?
Oh, dude, 40 minutes as long. Yeah. Like that ain't me. I'd drive myself crazy. I'd be the guy you leave in there for 2 hours and come back and I have socks on my hand doing a puppet show.
That's hilarious. That might be a match. Like maybe you guys get locked in a room and see who comes out first. You can't touch. You just got to like.
TNA actually had a match kind of like that. It was the original Monsters Ball match was each competitor will be locked in a room, complete black, no music, no anything for 24 hours, and then be let out to go into the match from there. I always thought that was a cool concept.
I don't remember that, but I would be out of my mind.
Because Abyss, or I remember the, like one of the first ones, Abyss and Raven, and they came through the entranceway and they're like, oh, the lights. They're getting me. Ah, the lights.
That's hilarious. So before we wrap it up, let's talk about Slammiversary real quick. Last night, well, not when this airs, but when we're talking last night was the contract signing. You're a big fan of contract signings?
I'm a big fan of putting people through tables. So like, it's a win-win for me.
That's always fun. One thing I was going to ask about contract signings that I've always wondered over the years, have you known anybody to like kind of do a little rib and maybe like write something on the actual contracts?
I've never seen that, but that definitely seems like something I would 100% do.
Yes. Like, you know, just you have the contract there and you just kind of write or do something like maybe draw a dick on there to kind of like break somebody in the middle of the ring.
I've had people. So I always have the cell phone as part of my character in Impact Wrestling. And I'm always clicking on the cell phone. And I've had people change my background on my phone before where I've pulled it up and like almost broke character in the ring because it was something of a sort.
That's hilarious. And then since you're a fan of old school wrestling, here's one thing that since, so you have the phone that's always with you. Do you remember in WCW when Sonny Ono used to come out and he used to take pictures? Like he was the first person to kind of do the selfie.
Little Polaroid.
Yeah.
Little Polaroid camera.
Yeah. Did you ever wonder whatever happened to all those pictures?
I wonder if there were actually ever pictures actually taken.
Maybe.
Like, dude, those pic, like now in the time of technology and being able to sell anything, like imagine if a character, I guarantee if, for instance, on Impact, Caleb with the K, always taking selfies. I bet if he used a Polaroid camera and took those pictures, he could 100% sell those. 100% sell those.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You might not want to say anything. I mean, maybe if you want to give him the idea, but maybe you might want to do that for yourself.
Yeah, like, that might be my, I don't think it'd sell as much if they're taken on a phone and they're digital. But I think if it was actual Polaroid, like actual pictures developed, which people don't understand anymore, I think you'd sell.
Do you think it's the like one picture thing that would be sold? Like this is the only picture that exists of it.
100%.
Got
it. I've sold wrist tape off my wrists. Like you never know what someone's going to want. Like it's getting to the point. Like anytime I always take wrist tape off, I always give it to like somebody because someone wants it. Like I'd rather not charge something stupid like that. Or if you have someone like Ace Austin, he wears a little piece of tape on his wrist. Every match of his career, he's taken his tape off and put it in a ball. And it's in his bag. So he has a piece of tape from every match that he's ever been a part of. So it's like one day, like imagine how much that might be worth. Like one day he might be a world champion to sell that for $1,000. You don't know. Like people buy weird things. I buy weird things. Like I have a Scream mask that's signed by the person in Scream. Like I've bought movie props from different horror movies. Like people buy things. Like it's a weird time.
So does stuff like that make you hang on to everything through your career?
I am not I get rid of everything. Like okay. I'm not a very like, oh, I need to keep this. I'm not emotionally attached to a lot of things. Like I'm always like, I'll just get rid of that.
I feel like you should maybe start throwing it in a box in the garage just in case.
I have so much stuff though still that like, dude, I have probably 30 singlets left. I have like 15 of those flak jackets left. And I've sold so many of them. Like, but it just gets to the point of even the hassle of selling the stuff. It's just like, ugh.
That's insane. That's crazy. So let's talk about Slammiversary real quick. Any last words for Kenny Omega?
I'm going to bash his damn brains in.
That's a good ending for me. You feel good with that?
It's that simple.
All right. Sammy, thanks, man. I appreciate it.
Yeah.